And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let us pray. Holy Father, we do pray that thou wilt give us insight, wisdom, and understanding in thy holy word, for it was written for our learning. And may it reveal to us ever more clearly the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We begin now the Advent season when we remember the first Advent of Christ, when he came to the world to save God's elect by his obedience and suffering. This Advent was first announced in the Garden of Eden. As soon as there was a fall into sin, God announced the advent of a Savior who would come to save us from our sins. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, this is a real snake. We know that because it says he's one of the animals of the field which the Lord God has made. So it's not an apparition. And also the curse that he'll crawl on the ground shows also he's a physical being. However, with the curse came an alteration in the form of this creature, because he originally walked. Like a lot of animals, he had arms and legs. Crawling in the dust is the result of the curse. Now, we remember in the Gospels when Jesus sent the demons into the pigs, and they all ran into the water and drowned. But it shows that evil spirits can occupy animals. And in this case, it's Satan himself occupying and using this creature, this serpent, as an instrument. Now, this is the way temptations begin. It's never very direct, or almost never. It's just, let's have a conversation. I just have a question about God's word. Does it really say that? If we can get a conversation going, then I can sow doubt. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, Eve shows that she knows very well what God has said. She knows what is prohibited. She has the knowledge that God has threatened to kill her if she sins, this one sin. She also does what we see many people doing today and what the Jews always did. She added to God's word. God said nothing about touching the tree, just said about eating from it. It might be a good idea not to touch it, but wasn't prohibited. You know, this is so common. If you shouldn't go to bad movies, you shouldn't go to any movies. There are fundamentalists today who say it's a sin to go into a movie theater. There was a member of this church who was this is 35 years ago. She was attending Philadelphia College of the Bible. And they found out she went to a movie and they kicked her out of college. You shouldn't drink too much wine, so you shouldn't drink any wine. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Martin Luther said here, As God had preached to Adam, so Satan now preaches to Eve. The object of Satan was to draw away Eve by his word from that which God had said. You know, you really can't sin unless you get drawn away from God's word. So we have here the word of Satan and the word of God. And as usual, they are the very opposite. God says you won't die. God says you will die. Satan says you won't die. So what's Satan saying? God's lying to you. He's telling you something that isn't true. His word can't be trusted. Then he goes on to attack God's motive. The only reason he's prohibited the tree is not because he's worried about your dying. He's worried about your becoming like him. He's jealous. So God's liar and he's unkind. You know what Satan means? It means slanderer. He slanders God to man and he slanders man to God. Now, Satan says, you'll know good and evil. Well, they already know good and evil. They know it's good not to eat of this tree, that it's evil to eat of it. But he's promising deeper knowledge, hidden knowledge, knowledge like God's. He's promising that they will be divine if they only do what he says. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Well, now Eve leaves the word of God completely. She's no longer referring to what God said. She's simply depending on what Satan said and upon her own reason. I've heard people say, well, God gave me a brain. I can decide for myself what's right and wrong. Not without his word, you can't. She can see the fruit of the tree is good. She can see it's beautiful. And what in the world could be wrong with getting more wisdom? So everything she reasons makes it perfectly reasonable to do what the devil said and not to obey God. This happens always with sin. Witnessing to a man last week, and he's saying, why do you Christians have such a problem with homosexuality? He said, he wasn't one. But he said, I know a guy who's a homosexual. He's a really nice guy. I said, that has nothing to do with it. God said it's an abomination, and that's all you need to know. And you know what's happened in our culture, including all of Europe. I read in a paper the other day, Jim Nabors, the actor, died, the one who played Gomer Pyle, the Marine. And the article said something about he died in Hawaii, and then it said something about his husband. I had to read that twice. His husband. Setting aside the word of God, they became fools. Romans chapter 1. So she took and ate, and God gave to Adam, and he ate as well. It isn't recorded, but likely Eve shared with Adam Satan's promise. After they ate the fruit, their eyes were open, and now they know good and evil, all right. They know that they're evil. And their remedy is to sew fig leaves together. Man-made religion. The world is full of fig leaf religion. By the way, if you ever saw a fig tree, fig leaves are very scratchy. It doesn't cover sin. It's a form of religion without the power. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. This is a condition of every lost sinner. He doesn't want anything to do with the true God. All men have a religious nature. They may want a religion, but they don't want the true God. They want to hide from him. That's why the Bible teaches and Calvinism teaches irresistible grace. Jesus says, no man comes to me except what? The Father draw him. All the religions of the world provide a way to hide from God, yet still be religious. Hide from the true God. Adam explains that he hid from God because he was afraid, and because he was afraid of his voice, and he was afraid because he was naked. But he neglects to say anything about his sin. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, God knows exactly what happened. He was there watching the whole thing. But he needs to elicit a confession from Adam before he can forgive him. So he asked him if he broke his commandment about the tree. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. This is a confession, but it's not much of one. First, he places the blame on his wife, and then by implication on God who gave him the wife. I mean, if you hadn't given me this wife, it wouldn't have happened. Then he finally admits that he did sin. When you confess your sins to God, omit the excuses. They just make your confession much, much weaker and less sincere. God doesn't need to say, to hear, I did it, but he just needs to hear you say, I did it, and I'm sorry. In the army, we were taught, when you're corrected, the answer is no excuse, sir. No excuse, sir. Good confession. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Eve has an excuse as well. I did it, but it wasn't really my fault. The serpent beguiled me. But then she confesses reluctantly, I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. The Lord doesn't ask the serpent to make a confession because he has no plan to save Satan. He simply goes directly to cursing him. Now, some have said, well, is that right to curse this irrational creature, this animal, just because the devil used him? Well, guess what? God cursed the whole world because of Adam's sin. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Romans 8, the whole creation groans under the curse because of Adam's sin. Now, this curse is in two parts. Partly on the animal to be a symbol of Satan to warn believers what snakes are. And then in verse 15, it's a curse on Satan who used the serpent. And this verse 15 is the first gospel, the proto-evangelium, the first announcement of Christ who would come and defeat the devil. The gospel in the Garden of Eden. I will put enmity between thee. Now he's speaking to the devil. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the serpent are those of the human race that are the tares, the reprobate, the one that Jesus calls the children of the devil. The ones who follow not God, but the devil. Seed of the woman are those who are the elect. And there is enmity between these and the human race from the beginning. But then he goes on in the verse to speak of one particular seed of the woman. It. It's neuter because the Hebrew demands it of seed, but in the Greek Old Testament, it's autos, he. He shall bruise thy head. This seed is Christ. St. Paul says in Galatians, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He says not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this is the first promise of that seed, of the woman, the seed of the Virgin Mary. He will crush Satan's head. He will totally defeat him forever. But in the process, he will be wounded. His heel will be wounded, so he's wounded but not fatally like the devil. And then he goes on to, in this passage to talk about the fallen condition and what it will be like from now on because of their sin and bringing the world into this fallen state. There will be things that disrupt the harmony of marriage. Instead of the delicacies of Eden, they'll eat the herb of the field, which was designed for the animals. Adam will have to work hard now by the sweat of his brow. And finally, his body will return to dust because his immortality has been taken from him. But the good news is, because of Christ, his soul goes to paradise. So does Eve's. And that we see in the last verse. Now I conclude with, unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. This is the gospel as well. Where did the coats of skin come from? Where did the leather come from? Well, God had to kill an animal to get this leather. This is the first recorded death in the history of the world. God killed an animal to clothe transgressors that he had pardoned. A picture of the robe of righteousness Christ gives us. The great Scottish preacher Adam Bonner said, Jehovah God at the gate of Eden here is our Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest. And in Leviticus, the high priest had the right to the skins of all the animals of the burnt sacrifice. So here Christ is our high priest. And the death of this animal represents his death on the cross. And by this, he clothes the first transgressors with his own righteousness from his death on the cross. The death which we remember at Holy Communion. Let us pray. Grant, Lord, that we may never forget the price that was paid for our salvation. Now it's nothing we have done, but all that thou hast done for us. Amen.